Please join me. Dear Jesus, you gave of yourself and commanded those who follow you to love as you have loved. As we worship together, remind us by your Spirit of what we are called to do. Give us courage to hold the banner of grace and forgiveness high. Give us compassion to meet the needs of those who hunger in body and soul. Amen.
Well, let's begin this time of a message, and I'm going to be sharing scripture too. Let's begin with some prayer. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, we are in the midst of a Lenten series. It's called Made Whole. And so far, we have heard about how God can take the broken pieces of our lives through rebellion, restlessness, rejection, and regret, and make us whole. In fact, make us into a beautiful masterpiece. In these times, it's good to know that in the broken pieces of this world, God can take what is broken and where the struggles are and our anxieties and our fears, and God can make a beautiful masterpiece. Now, if you've missed any of those messages, you're going to find them as recordings and as audio files. Just go to our website and you'll find that so that you can kind of catch up on where we are. Today, we're going to talk about responsibility. How can God take our responsibilities, those that are light and those that are heavy, how can God take those and help us to be made whole, to make the broken into a masterpiece? And I'd like to begin by just asking this question. Who are you responsible for today? So let's think about that. You may be sitting with people for whom you have responsibility now. It may be an elder, a parent. It may be a spouse or children that are near you. For some of us, our responsibilities extend beyond our homes, even if we're in our homes, to parents and children who are in other places, to aunts and uncles and grandparents and dear friends for whom we care so much. But we understand what it is to be responsible for other people and to care for them. Quite honestly, I have to tell you that I have been feeling a burden of responsibility in these days. I'm feeling responsible as a leader of this church. There are practical responsibilities, and I find myself having to make quick and decisive decisions. But I'm also feeling the burden of spiritual responsibility, because it is important that even as our life shifts, that we remain connected and growing in God. John Wesley, our founder, in the 1750s and on, how would he ever have imagined that you would be hearing the word by sitting home and listening on a screen? Isn't that amazing? How could he have imagined that the pastors that he sent out into ministry would be told not to go into homes, not to go into hospitals, to care for people face to face? As I've said, these are extraordinary times, but by God's grace and God's presence, we can carry on in our responsibility to grow in our faith and to grow in love and grace with God. It's interesting, Shane Stanford, who wrote Mosaic, which is our all-church study during this Lenten season, said that Jesus blesses and calls us through responsibility. And the scripture that he used to demonstrate that was from John 14. So I'm going to now read the first seven verses. I forgot to tell you to get your Bible, so I'll give you a minute Time's up. All right. You have to have your Bible with you. So grab your Bible. Don't even try and like use your phone for two things. Just get a Bible. Now I'm going to go. And you might as well, because John 14, because I'm going to keep coming back to it, and you'll be able to look at it. And trust me, no one's watching, so you can actually use your Bible. Okay, so here we go. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what might this passage, this occasion where Jesus gathered with his disciples, teach us about growing in responsibility and that making us whole? Well, the first thing that we can look at is the actual setting. What an amazingly intimate and dear setting. It wasn't in their own homes, but it was in someone's. An upper room in Jerusalem. The disciples knew that there were threats of death against Jesus, and it was very near. It was a very tense time. And yet they celebrated a holiday, the Passover feast, together, and they gathered in a closed room. And according to the Gospel of John, Jesus took time to talk to them. He prayed with them. He gave them deeper understanding. He cared for them in a way that only a dear, dear friend would. And he had words to say to them. It says in the verses 2 and 3, it says that he's going to prepare a place for them. He says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. One of the things that Jesus does, showing us about responsibility, is that we have the opportunity to prepare to be intentionally caring for one another. The disciples found in those words that they were not abandoned. They were remembered. You know, it's pretty easy to think of places that are prepared for us. Think about a guest coming to your home, or if you have experienced the welcome of a grandparents yourself, or you are a grandparent, you know that grandparents tend to prepare the place, their home, for grandchildren. So I know that in our house, we pull out the toys, we buy hot dogs and that boxes of macaroni and cheese, all of those kid-friendly foods. We put away a few things that we don't want broken because we don't want anyone to feel bad. And then we say, bring on the kids, because we're going to say yes to everything. We prepare our homes to welcome them. Why do we do that? Because it's important that our grandchildren know that they are not forgotten, that they're worthy and they're loved. And so one of the things that Jesus let his disciples know is that he would prepare a place for them. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was going to go out and repaint the guest room or fluff up the pillows. But what Jesus was going to do was he was going to die for them. Sometimes our preparation to care for one another, to be responsible for one another, takes a bit of sacrifice. And I know that in these days you are creatively finding ways to support one another. My heart has been warmed by the stories of people who are reaching out to their neighbors, are caring for members of this church, and are even doing work in this community as they are able to safely do, so that others might feel comfort and know care. Another thing that Jesus shows us in the scripture is he models a welcoming spirit, that responsibility of being welcoming. He says in 3 again, he says, I am going there to prepare a place for you, and he is going there. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. It's this amazing spirit of welcome, and it didn't just start here in Jesus' life. No. This has been going on from all of his life. If we look back, Jesus was the one who welcomed the sick to him so they might be healed. He welcomed people to come and get food on a mountainside. He welcomed the children. He welcomed those who were bent over and tired and worn. He welcomed those who were separated and on the margins. He welcomed the weary and those who were burdened. One of the images that we have of Jesus is his arms outstretched on the cross. But it might be good for us to remember also that as Jesus lived and modeled a life that would show us the way of God, his arms were outstretched in welcome to all who needed them. The early church understood this idea of welcoming as well. Listen to a few verses from Acts 2, where Luke, the author of Acts, describes what the early church was like. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers. Every day they met together in the temple and ate in their homes. They shared food with gladness and simplicity. They praised God and demonstrated God's goodness to everyone. This is what the body of Christ looks like, arms open in welcome. Now, it may not seem exactly that way right now, with signs of closure on our doors and darkened and locked rooms. But we know that the church is not this building. The church is all of us, wherever we are. And we also know in this time that welcome can change. Welcome might be acts of hospitality through a call or a card, an email, a FaceTime exchange. And of course, welcome comes as we pray for those who are in need. And pray for those who are on the front lines, whether it's the truck drivers bringing in the food, or the testers out in the tents across this state and nation, or medical staff, or first responders, or caretakers in nursing homes, or those who are already sick, and those who are mourning. We can pray for them. And we can pray for our loved ones and friends. These are gestures of welcome. These are acts of opening our arms and saying, I know I am connected and want to be there. The last one that I want to talk about that Jesus shows us here is that we can feel responsibility and grow in that through our sense of belonging and place. Now, Jesus understood about place. He chose to go down into a river that flowed through a desert to begin his ministry, to go up into the Judean highlands, into the wilderness for 40 days. When he went to Nazareth, his hometown, he was rejected, and he adopted a new hometown and claimed Capernaum. He stayed with disciples in their homes. He lived with Peter in Capernaum. He stayed with Mary and Martha and Lazarus near Jerusalem. He understood what it was to be in a home. And Jesus could be at a dining table with a hostile host and still make it a home. He could stand on a mountainside with thousands of hungry people around him and make it his kitchen. Jesus could be out on a stormy sea and make it a place of peace and rest. When Jesus said, I go to prepare for you a heavenly home, He not only talked about what would be, he talked about what is. That we are at home now, for God indwells in us by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus lives and is present for us. I invite you right now to look around your home. What do you see? Walls that you like the paint color or you'd like to change? Talk that over with your spouse. Do you see kind of piles of things around? Can you see out the windows the beauty of the day? What are the things you love? Do you see loved ones or framed pictures of them now? Listen to the sounds of your home. Refrigerator running? The furnace? The sounds outside? This is a place, this home, whether it is confining or comforting for you right now, whether it is cozy or cluttered, the home you are in, this house, is infused with divine, and it is where God is at home. John Inge wrote a book called The Theology of Christian Place. He says in it that we assume a lot of places we are temporary. Perhaps even the home you're in, you're only there for another 5 years or another 10, and then you're going here or you're going there. He says we tend to go pilgrimage, take pilgrimages to places that we think are going to be where the sacred is. And we show up there waiting for God to be present. Some of you might long to be in your sanctuary because that's where God is present. But the truth is that God is here in this place, wherever that place might be. And how can that change us? I didn't understand until I heard a story once from a woman. She told me this wonderful story of learning how place can shape us. She and her husband grew up in Virginia. They loved the mountains there. They moved to Pennsylvania to work. They had their careers there. They raised their children there. And they said, as soon as we can, we will move back to Virginia because this is not our home. And years went by, 20 years, 30 years. At one point, they decided to build this very elaborate Swedish masonry stove in the center of their homes. It took hundreds of hours of work. And one day when that stove was done, the woman said, "You know, I finally realize we're not going back to Virginia. This is our home. And we'll stay here as long as we can." And she looked outside, and she realized for all the years that she had been there, she had never done anything with the yard. Because she assumed, why should I do anything? Because I'm leaving this home. And so as soon as she could, she started planting perennials and bushes and making paths. And pretty soon, neighbors that she had never talked to in her life came over and asked if they could sit in her garden. And pretty soon she was connecting with people all over the community. It's because she claimed the space as her own. She claimed it as a holy and divine space. This is an extraordinary time. And this is a time when we can claim our homes as sacred. A place where God calls us and prepares us and sends us into the world. I have been hearing a phrase this week called sheltering in place. And I'm thinking that we are now, by the power and grace of God, all together in the shelter of the one who loves us and has transformed us and saved us. What's the worth of realty today? What establishes that worth? You know the answer. It's location, 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 right? What establishes our worth? It is the persistent location of God in our lives and moving in our hearts. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." He called us to a peace. He called those disciples to a peace in the most difficult time they would ever experience. And we have testimony through our lives how God has given us steadiness of spirit and peace in the most difficult times. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is how you will come to know me." I'm not here to debate who's in and who's out, or if this is some kind of message in religious plurality. I want to go to its simplest terms. He was with people he loved, and he said to them, "My way is peace. You will find peace for your heart. My way is truth. Trust me. This is real. My way is life, and I will live for you, and you will live." You may think that because I'm here and you're in your homes that there isn't going to be a challenge. Well, wrong. There's a challenge. And this is what I'd like you to do today. I'd like you to get up, even if you're in the comfy lazy boy. When this is done, I invite you to get up, and I want you, please, to go from room to room. And in each room, give thanks for the presence of God. And then, when you've done that, and I'll tell you what, if you've got family members, take turns, especially allow the children to offer those thanks as well. Every room, give thanks for the presence of God. And then, as you have time today, consider the sacred spaces of your neighbors. Because God is in all those houses you can see out your windows. Think of the sacred spaces where God dwells, even in this church as it quietly sits here waiting for you to return. Think of the sacred spaces where people are content and happy and where the strain of this event is hurting. And trust that in the laughter and in the tears, for those who are lonely and those who are finally resting, for those who are working from home and those who are just playing in the yard, God is with us, and God is taking even these most troubling times and will make a whole, because God is in the business of saving and redeeming. I am so glad to know that you sit in a place where God is present. Let us pray. Lord, we call on you now to come and bless these places where we are. Fill us with peace, fill us with strength, and give us wisdom for the days ahead. Amen.
And all of God's people said, amen. Thank you so much, Susan. That was beautiful, and it is a reminder of what we're called to do. We're called to be the church. And when I joined the United Methodist Church, I took a vow, and it was to support the church in our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And that looks a little bit different today, but it doesn't stop, because the church is all of us. It's not our buildings. It is all of the people, not just who are part of our worshiping community, but this entire world is the church. And so normally at this point in the worship service, we'd be passing the plates to collect our offering. We can't do that. We will not be sending couriers to your home to collect your pledges. But what you can do, because the church is still functioning, we are still here, we are still present, you can mail in your offering to the church office. The address is 400 East Grand River in Brighton, Michigan, 48116. You can also go to the church website, and you can give via PayPal or set up electronic giving. As we go through these times, support those who have supported you through the years. Be connected with your community. Those who are struggling, share what you have with them, and together we will get through this. And now I ask Suzanne Everett to come up and lead us in prayer.
Thank you. I know from your messages on Facebook and in emails that you are grateful for this worship time together. I know I am. And thank you so much, Pastor Sherry and Pastor Bob, for your awesome leadership during this time. Since we are leaning into creative worship, I invite you to switch things up with us. If you normally pray in a seated position, take a moment right now and stand up or kneel. Or maybe you'll put your arms outstretched or raise them to heaven. Do something different right now so that your body, your heart, your mind know that something new is happening. You may want to close your eyes to shut out any distractions. Take a deep cleansing breath and invite in the Holy One. Holy God, in these quiet moments, we turn away from the headlines and rest in you. We thank you for the comfort of your word and the reassurances that you are with us to the ends of the earth. While we are not physically together as a congregation, we are thankful for the technology that allows us to praise you and worship together. We ask blessings on all who may hear these words, as well as everyone who will not. Help us to share your love in the world. We are thankful for the lengthening days and signs of spring, the rains, the singing birds, the little green tips peeking up from the sleeping earth, and on the way here, I saw the forsythia in bloom. Pray for blessings on those whose new routines are challenging, for my eyes straining with all the screen time, for those who may be living too close for comfort, for those whose paychecks will not keep coming. Some of your children are sequestered to homes where they are not welcome or fed or nurtured. Pour out your mercy and help them find safe sanctuary. Lord, you have a better handle on this situation than we do. Help us to rest in your guidance. We pray for our leaders that their decisions may help calm the fear and move us closer to containing the virus, healing the sick, feeding the hungry. We pray for your church that we can be united in spirit and able to serve where we are needed. We pray for those who are under medical care for any reason. May they get the care they need and the comfort of their caregivers. We bless all those who are in the medical field and healthcare and first responders for their dedication to keeping everyone protected and cared for. Lord, we cast these prayers on you without ceasing. Though my words may pause, our thoughts will continue. Now, together wherever you are, join with me in repeating the prayer that Jesus first taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Go now. Well, or stay where you are. But in any case, know that God is powerfully present in these times, in our homes, indwelling by the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us with courage and wisdom and peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.